You may think that that song was a little bit out of place. If you do, perhaps it's because of that unfortunate habit we have of labeling and categorizing our songs. Everybody knows that's a Lord's Supper song. You're only supposed to sing a song like that right before the Lord's Supper. There are so many good songs that we tend to label and categorize. Some of the most stirring songs that we could sing in any part of worship have been shoved aside into that old file folder that says invitation songs. And we never use them any other time. I hope you are praying for little Ruby Brad. Ruby Brad is 7 years old. For the third time now in her brief life, she has been diagnosed with stage 4 neuroblastoma cancer. We've been getting some updates on Ruby through Sarah Richardson, and if you're on the email list, you've gotten them. I hope you've read them. Only 15% of people who are diagnosed with that particular kind of cancer live 5 years beyond it. When she was 2, it all started. About a 6-month round of chemotherapy led the doctors to proclaim her to be cancer-free until she was 4, and it came back. Now, within days of her 7th birthday, it's happened again. Nobody deserves cancer. But I don't think anybody is any more undeserving of cancer than a little child. You know, we're quick to say, well, I would, or if that were me, or if I think what I would. No, we don't know what we would do. You don't know what you would do until you find yourself there. And quite frankly, at least from my standpoint, I cannot imagine how it would be to be her daddy or her granddaddy. Ruby's father, along with the reports that he sends on her, the updates, he also includes an inspirational message, an encouraging address. And in the last one that came in just a few days ago, he wrote some things and included the words of this song, "When My Love to Christ Grows Weak." It kind of stuck with me. In fact, I couldn't get away from it. All week it's been on my mind, and so I knew that, well, I had to preach about it this morning. Now, there's a lesson in that. Don't get crossways with me so that you're on my mind every day. I might preach about you. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't really. When my love to Christ grows weak, when for deeper faith I seek. Then in thought I go to thee, Garden of Gethsemane. This may not be a normal sermon, maybe a little bit different. But there are some things in that song that I think we need to pay attention to. And in fact, there may be some things there that we haven't really considered. And so, and obviously the title of our lesson this morning is My Love to Christ. Now, as we begin this morning, I'm going to take the lid off of a little bit of controversy. There are some folks who misquote the title of that song and the first line, which includes the title. In fact, a minute ago, I think I did misquote it. When my love for Christ grows weak. That's not what it says. It's when my love to Christ grows weak. There's a difference. Now, you may be saying, it's just semantics. At for, to, both prepositions, both say basically the same thing. There's a difference. Now, it may be most apparent only to somebody who comes across maybe as a grammar nut like I do sometimes, but my love for Christ or my love to Christ. I think already you can see that there is a difference. The word for refers to something we have. We have love for Christ. We show love to Christ. That's what the song's talking about. We show love to Christ. Because you see, there may be some times, there are some times in all of our lives when the showing of our love to our Lord and Savior isn't as strong as it should be. That doesn't necessarily mean that we're losing our love for Him. It may mean that we're just so busy and distracted that we're not getting around to showing our love to Christ the way we need to. So as we think about the words to this song, I hope they will stay with you like they've stayed with me. Let's first of all talk about the weakening of my love's expression to Christ. When my love to Christ grows weak, when for deeper faith I seek, then in thought I go to the Garden of Gethsemane. Let's think for just a minute as we're reminded by that song about the connection between love and faith. If things are as they should be, and if things are as God's Word tells us we should be, there is a strong bond between our love and our faith. And if our love isn't directed to the right things, especially to the Lord, it may be because there is a shallowness to our faith. When my love to Christ grows weak, when for deeper faith I seek. Let's think for just a minute also about the causes of that weakening. The things that may lead to or cause our faith to be weakened and the showing or expressing of our love to be weakening. We say it all the time. I'm too tired. I've just been so busy. Everything's just piled up on me, and I'm just not able to do everything that I need to do, and therefore I'm not really connected with the church family like I need to be. I don't have time to think about going to this gospel meeting that you've got coming up here. I'm just so tired at the end of the day. What we need to understand here at this point is the fact that there are things that definitely lead to the weakening of the expression of our love to Christ. There are everyday normal things that can lead to this weakening is the result of certain things. For example, like trying to do too much and getting overloaded, and I'm too tired. I'm too busy. Or here's another one. It may very well be the rise of the wrong will in our lives. The rise of the wrong will. What are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. When Jesus knelt there in the Garden of Gethsemane, you remember what he prayed. But Father, not my will, but thy will be done. It is so easy, especially in today's culture, today's world that we all live and operate in, it's really easy to let the wrong will get on top. My will. No, it should be God's will on top. God's will is first. God's will is preeminent. Because if my will supersedes God's will, then all kind of bad things are going to start beginning to happen in my life. I don't mean my dog's going to die, I'm going to get fired from my job or anything like that. I'm saying that these results of spiritual weakness and deterioration are the natural results of letting the wrong will be in control. There's only one way that Jesus could have gone to the cross and paid the price for our sins, and that is if he had God's will in the very first place in his life. And it's obvious from what he said, he did. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And of course, the song also mentions the remedy. The remedy is going to the Garden of Gethsemane. Then in thought I go to thee, Garden of Gethsemane. There's a great thing expressed in those words, and that is the fact that if you're like me, you've never been to that part of the world before, you can still go to the Garden of Gethsemane with the help of your Bible and that wonderful mind that God has blessed you with. Then in thought I go to thee, Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 36, then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. Taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. You know, we've been talking for quite a while here in the last few weeks about prayer and God's will and asking for God's will and how do we know what God's will is and the fact that we must never let our will get crossways with God's will. Jesus gives us the supreme answer, the supreme example. Not as I will, but as you will. There's a second thing that comes out of this song, and it is the weakening of my love for man. Because verse 2 says, when my love for man grows weak, for man grows weak. When for stronger faith I seek. Let's get something clear. There's a connection between love and faith. Again, the reason I put it on the screen that way is that we need to realize that it's not just my love for Jesus, my love to Jesus, and my faith in Him that have to be connected. It also comes into play with my love for my fellow man. And that's a pretty big deal. And you know, Paul wasn't messing around when he said to the Galatian Christians in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6 that in Jesus Christ neither is circumcision anything or uncircumcision. We talked about that in the Sunday school class this morning. Paul says, but not circumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Faith which worketh by love. In the same way, let's consider some causes for the weakening of my love for man. How about worldly circumstances? Things of this world in which it is necessary for us to live and operate. Worldly, earthly circumstances like mass shootings and invading terrorists and corrupt national leaders and a wrecked economy and high gas prices, and we could just go on and on. Sometimes those are the kind of things that cause the weakening of our love for man. Those kind of things will have a tendency to sour us on humanity. What about disappointments? Disappointments in one another. Disappointments in our brothers and sisters. Those things can really go a long way toward diminishing our love for one another. Selfishness. We could just go on and on and on in the things that cause the weakening of our love for mankind and tragically for one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. But the song provides us the remedy. Hill of Calvary I go, to thy scenes of fear and woe. Actually, I just noticed this as I studied this, The punctuation demands that we actually read that a little bit different. It's Hill of Calvary. I go to thy scenes of fear and woe. Hill of Calvary. I go to thy scenes of fear and woe. It's not the way we sing it, but that's the way it's really written, punctuated. In Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 35, "And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them, casting lots. Then they sat down and watched him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, 'This is Jesus, King of the Jews.'" Verse 39 says, "And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads, and saying, 'You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from that cross.' And so also the chief priests, with the scribes and elders, mocked him, and they were saying, 'He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him.'" Verse 43, "He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" When you read what Jesus went through and what the attitudes toward him were exhibited there on that scene of fear and woe, you begin to back up a little bit and say, there's nothing like that I've ever had to go through. Nobody's ever mistreated me like that. That's part of the point of the song. The remedy for the weakening love for mankind is to take a look again at Calvary and see what the Lord went through. And then our third point is the learning of pain and self-sacrifice. That doesn't sound very fun. "Then to life I turn again, learning all the worth of pain." The worth of pain. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul speaks to this very subject in verses 17 and 18 when he says, "For our light affliction, our light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." The worth of pain. Remember what Paul said when he talked about the discipline, the self-discipline that he used on himself. And he said, I buffet my body and keep it under subjection, lest at any time, if after I have preached to others, I should become a castaway. We are not those who believe that suffering is an indication of righteousness. We are those, though, who believe what the Bible teaches on the subject of even the righteous will have to suffer in this life. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And there's worth in it. There's value in it. And there is might in self-sacrifice. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, As Paul tells about his thorn in the flesh, he talks about asking the Lord to take it from him. And three times the Lord told him no. And Paul said then, for the sake of Christ, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. How can that be, Paul? Because God said, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength, God's strength, is made obvious through my, David's, weakness. There is might in self-sacrifice. Not for just any old cause, but for the cause of Christ. Then to life I turn again, learning all the worth of pain, learning all the might that lies in a full self-sacrifice. The writer of the Hebrew letter in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, talks about the fact that we are all surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Picture a stadium in which we are contestants on the battlefield, on the field, the game surface, and all around us in the stands, as we would say, are those people that are called out there in chapter 11 of Hebrews, those great heroes of faith. And the writer tells us that we need to run with endurance the race that is set before us. To run with endurance as we look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. When my love to Christ grows weak, I need to go to Gethsemane. And I need to observe the example of selfless self-sacrifice, giving over to the will of the Father. And when my love for man grows weak, I need to go to the hill of Calvary and observe the fear and the woe that was there, endured by the one who became sin for us, even though he knew no sin, becoming sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Are you a child of God? If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is the greatest need for you today. The good news is, everything here is ready for that to take place. The bad news for a lot of people is, they won't take that first step of coming to the Lord in belief, repentance, confession, and baptism. Won't you do that? If you've already done that but have become unfaithful in your service to the Lord, if you're if the expression of your love to Christ has been weakened, if your love for man is lacking, and you're failing in showing the concern for others, come back, be restored, and serve the Lord. If you're subject to this invitation of the Lord in any way, we invite you to respond as we all stand together and sing.